Amen. Please be seated. Years ago, the electricity went out, happens from time to time. Not a big deal, it comes right back on. Just be patient, nothing will be lost. Well, not this time. This, let's just say, was hot. Really hot. August hot. No air conditioning, no electricity. Well, what are we going to do with all that meat in the freezer? Don't worry about it, honey. It's going to be all right. Not this time. Hours went by. Days went by. Almost a week went by. That meat had to be thrown away. It was spoiled rotten. So I started cleaning the outside of the freezer. Right? My wife looks at me like I've lost my mind. She says, "You have to open the door, spray the inside, and wipe it down." Got it. Good. Go to it. This happens in our house. She has to spell it out for me. Now I ask you the same question. Who is crazy enough to focus on the exterior when the interior is a stinking mess? The point is, our sinful nature addresses the outside and ignores the inside. We are rotten and we stink. Isaiah says, look on the inside. All of us, pastor and parishioners, have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf. We know about that these days. How many of you have seen leaves? Are they going to say, "I'm just going to hunker down"? No. Like the wind, they take us away. You are like a leaf and are blown away. Isaiah 6 says, "I am unclean. I am a man of unclean lips, and I am among a people who are unclean." In Leviticus, unclean was an infectious disease. This is what people did. You tore your clothes, you covered your face, and you yelled out, "Unclean." We have an infectious disease, and it's contagious. What we are saying is, "I am sick. Don't come close to me because I could kill you." We all need to be quarantined. We all walk around with this sickness, and it infects and kills so many people. We need to be quarantined for the rest of our lives. It's that contagious. Don't be fooled. You may look as fit as a fiddle, but on the inside, you are as filthy as that freezer. So what are we going to do? Well, we have some options. We can focus on the outside and ignore the inside, and we can blame it. It's not my fault. It's my spouse's fault. It's the children's fault. It's the church's fault. Pick your poison, but don't own it. We want to focus on the outside. That's what the old Adam does. In Genesis 3, taking it like a man, when Adam was confronted, he blames his wife. This woman that you put here offered it, and I ate it. You want to be lame? Just play the blame game. Another option is to stop it. When someone comes along and confronts you, you say, no way, we're not going to talk about that. Not in this house, not at this table, not in this marriage. It's off limits. Just stuff it down. That's what David did. Stuffing it down makes it worse. You know it. Just like toxic waste, you can bury it, but sooner or later it's going to come to the top and it will destroy everything. What's another option? We can measure it. The Pharisee said, I'm going to measure my filth against someone else's. And when I do that, I look pretty good. Paul says that when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. When I compare myself with others by my own standards, I'm pretty good. But what about God's standards? What about God's Ten Commandments? Is there a better way to look at the filth and the stench in my life? All of us have become unclean. Is there a better way? Isaiah 64, in one of the greatest confessions, says, quit hiding. Quit playing games. Lay it on the table. Confess it. This is what he does. This is what he says. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Come down and deal with this mess. We can't fix it. We can't hide it. We can't do anything about it. It's infectious, and people are dying. God, you come down. And in so doing, he recalls Exodus. Because in that setting, Israel was stuck. Stuck in Egypt. Israel was up to its neck. And God heard them. And God came down. God came down in the form of a burning bush and a staff, and they walked out of Egypt on dry ground. Isaiah said, you did it once. You came down once. Do it again. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Isaiah's prayer was answered in Jesus Christ. The words of our Nicene Creed that we confess, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Virgin Mary and was made man. Confess it. Cry out, and God came down. And when God comes down, he does things that we don't expect. Isaiah 64, 3. When you came down, you did awesome things that we did not expect. When God came down in Jesus Christ, his very first miracle at a wedding, he turned water into wine. No one expected that. When Jairus' daughter was dead, Jesus resurrected her. No one expected that. Jesus takes all of the filth of ours, and to the cross he goes. And on the third day he rises from the dead, and absolutely no one expected that. So why would this righteous, holy, great, and glorious God send his sinless Son into the filth and do awesome things that no one expected. Why would he do that? Isaiah continues, "Yet you are our Father," verse 8. That's what a good father does when his children are stuck. He sends a rescue team. Wouldn't you like a father like that? Wouldn't you like a father that is at his strongest when we are at our weakest? To have a father who is at his best when we are at our worst? A father who lifts us up onto his lap and cleans up our messes? That is the father you have. So, why would you take all of the filth and blame it on someone else, or stuff it, or measure it? Why would you want to sling it around, throw it around? God says, I invite you to look at your unclean heart and confess it to your loving Father, who still does things we don't expect. He did it once, and today he will do it again. How can we be so sure? Isaiah's answer is all throughout his book. His name is Jesus. Isaiah is all about Jesus and his grace and his mercy and his love. 1:18, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall be as wool. 7:14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us in the mess. 25:8, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. 53:7, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives. This same Jesus, crucified, risen, reigning, and returning, in 65:17, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered. In other words, there will be no more filth. And all of this, and so much more. To that end, we exchange our unclean hearts for a new, clean heart and a new spirit. That is God's good and perfect gift for you. Let's celebrate it. Let's live it. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.